Hello, welcome to our 2023 Halloween Spooktacular edition of the CMPL podcast. I'm Phil Skeltis, Adult Services Librarian, and I'm joined by Colleen McWinney, our Teen Services Specialist. Hi, Colleen.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I am very good, thank you.
Great.
We'll be talking about some of our favorite picks of spooky books and movies and other things at the library that you might want to look into this October. Colleen, do you want to start us off with one of the items you wanted to discuss?
Sure. So I am a big lover of spooky in general. I love a spooky book, a movie, anything. And I thought I would highlight it is technically a children's book, but I think that this book is super available. Like, it's a scary book, but it's not too scary for the kids that it's written for, but it's also not boring. So I recommend it to kids, teens, adults, anybody. And it's, I think, my favorite new author. That's like maybe a bold claim, but I don't know. Her name is Catherine Arden. And this book that I'm going to recommend is part of a series, but she's got a whole bunch of other stuff too, but I highly, highly recommend Small Spaces by Catherine Arden. Honestly, it reminds me of like my Goosebump days without being like too childish. It is spooky. It actually reminds me specifically of my favorite Goosebumps book when I was growing up. I think it's The Scarecrow Walks or Stalks at Midnight. I don't know if I created that pun in my head or if that was the title, but this book, Small Spaces by Catherine Arden, does talk about scarecrows. It talks about like very kind of like weirdly warming and comforting fall vibes. And then all of a sudden it goes from very warm and comforting and kind of cozy to like, oh no, what's happening? And it's kind of like a just a little mind warp of a book. And if you like historical fiction, there's a little bit of history in it. And it's all about a group of kids who have to deal with a strange kind of legend dealing with a farm in their area. And so it's got kind of Stranger Things vibes in that sense, where it's like a small group of kids that are kind of like doing the thing, going through the woods, being brave about it all. And they have to fight off this presence. It's hard to not give too much away, but it is
right.
Such a great book. And it's a quick book. It's like 200 pages, super good read. Highly recommend it.
Awesome. That sounds like a winner.
And it does have to do with some things that are not supposed to be alive coming to life. So
yes, which is a theme you're going to hear throughout this podcast. Yes. I told Colleen I have a very specific theme. Well, great. That sounds like a winner. And I like things that are like scary, but not like too scary.
Yeah.
That sounds right up my alley. I've written that down.
Great.
So yeah, my first pick is How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. This came out this year. Grady Hendrix is the author of other modern horror classics such as Horror Store, My Best Friend's Exorcism, and The Final Girl Support Group. And here's a description of the book. So when Louise finds out her parents have died, she dreads going home. She doesn't want to leave her daughter with her ex and fly to Charleston. She doesn't want to deal with her family home stuffed to the rafters with the remnants of her father's academic career and her mother's lifelong obsession with puppets and dolls. You can see where this is going. She doesn't want to learn how to live without the two people who knew and loved her best in the world. Most of all, she doesn't want to deal with her brother, Mark, who never left their hometown, gets fired from one job after another, and resents her success. Unfortunately, she'll need his help to get the house ready for sale, because it'll take more than some new paint on the walls and clearing out a lifetime of memories to get this place on the market. But some houses don't want to be sold, and their home has other plans for both of them. So it's a family story, but oh, so much more. The first time I went to my mother-in-law's house, I learned that she had a particular obsession for antique dolls. These are creepy antique dolls, in my opinion, whose eyes kind of follow you wherever you go. And when we would stay over, I'd have to like painstakingly turn them around to face the wall or cover them with blankets, which I pretty much figured only angered them more. And I was sure they were going to seek their retribution in the middle of the night. maybe not coincidentally, around the same time, my wife, Valerie, encouraged me to appreciate retro 80s horror movies. And I kind of learned that creepy dolls coming to life is an established genre in and of itself. There were the Child's Play movies of the 80s and 90s, which were kind of the pinnacle of this genre, and more recently, the Annabelle movies. So this book is an homage to that genre of, I would say, movie, really. Grady Hendrix is a master of retro horror storytelling, and How to Sell a Haunted House. It's fun, it's frequently funny, and also quite scary, filled with inanimate things, dolls, stuffed animals, puppets coming to life and terrorizing our protagonist and her brother. The story's main adversary is a delightfully creepy clown named Pupkin. And if you have a chance to listen to the audio version, the narrator does a really great job giving him a voice that's both playful and spine-chilling at the same time. Brother and sister have to learn how to get along with each other and work together in order to take on Pupkin and his minions, because, who's going to buy a house with all that going on? It's a great book for this time of year, and I highly recommend it. I would say it's appropriate for adults, but also teens that don't mind some scary things.
So it sounds like there's a lot of inanimate objects that are making their own decisions in that. The house, the dolls, stuffed animals, it's giving me some,
Yes.
yeah.
It's
I'm
kind of,
not.
they're kind of like the angels in Doctor Who. Like, they'll
Oh,
turn around, they'll be
so
like, "Was
creepy.
that doll there last time I saw it?" That
So
kind of
is it
thing.
like evil Toy Story?
It's like evil Toy
Oh
Story.
no.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, I'm not even afraid of doll. I don't really find dolls and all that creepy per se. Although if we talk about dummies, that was a whole thing too. I feel like that's a subgenre of the genre you're talking about. That
Yes,
gets me.
the ventriloquist dummies.
Yes. Ooh.
Yep.
So I don't
Exactly.
know, but the dolls don't really bother me, but that sounds like a lot. So
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
by the
pretty
time you're
cool.
done reading, you may feel differently.
Yeah, well, maybe I won't read that. I don't know, we'll see. But the you said audiobook, and I love a good audiobook. I used to be kind of like meh, poo-poo to audiobooks, but I'm a recent convert, I guess. And I am intrigued. I feel like if it can really add to the story, the vibe of the story, that's awesome. And to have that be a spooky story, I feel like that's an extra bonus. So
Yes, and I
great.
commute a lot, so I
Yeah.
often go that route. And yes, it kind of adds a level of creepiness to an already creepy premise.
Well, that's awesome.
What have you got next?
Well, so I also tried to watch a movie that would align with our theme, and I'm gonna sort of give this a little bit of a preface before I get to the movie itself. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Have you heard of Robert the Doll?
No, I haven't.
You haven't heard of Robert the Doll?
I'm
Okay,
writing it
and
down already.
okay, so in my spooky travelings of media that I've consumed, I can't remember exactly where I heard about this first, but Robert the Doll is a doll from like the early 1900s. I want to say Southern US, where it was owned by a young boy. And it was just one of those things where once he was given the doll, weird things started happening.
You're talking about this like this is real. Is this real?
This is real.
Oh, boy.
So, and I'll let you decide where the real part, ends and the legend begins, because I think that's what everybody has to figure out. But Robert the Doll is a real doll, and he was given to a young boy, who I think his father traveled a lot for work and brought this home as like a gift on one of his travels. And the boy loved this doll and brought it with him everywhere. But then weird kind of spooky stuff, unexplained, kind of started happening around them. And people started blaming the doll, saying that he was cursed. And there's a lot of legend behind it. And it is a doll that is, like I said, real, that you can actually go and see in a
Oh my gosh.
museum currently. And the rumor is that if you go and visit Robert and you try to take a picture of or with him without asking his permission, then the curse will transfer to you.
Oh boy.
So there is so much out there about Robert, and it's just a cool kind of I love a good spooky story that has just real stuff attached to it.
Yes.
And yeah, so because that makes it, oh, it makes it like extra spooky.
It rings a bell a little bit too. I listened to Stuff You Should Know, the podcast, and I'm wondering if that was one of their Halloween editions. But oh
I
my
mean,
gosh.
oh, there are so many good, like, kind of not necessarily spooky, but just interesting, curious podcasts out there that talk about stuff like this. I'm sure it's been on plenty of them. But we have a service called Hoopla, and which I know that Phil is familiar with, but if you are not familiar with it, listener, then I highly, highly recommend checking out Hoopla because it is a free service. I like to call it, maybe I get in trouble for this, I don't know, but I like to call it Netflix for libraries because it has tons of stuff. It has all kinds of movies, TV shows, books, audiobooks, it, just full of media, and it's all completely free. And I watched a movie which I didn't realize. I didn't realize that this was like a thing that existed. I haven't come across this before. And there is a whole series of, I think, four movies that we have on Hoopla that are, I think, independent movies, that are about Robert the Doll. And I watched the first one. I think it is called The Curse of Robert. The Curse of Robert the Doll, excuse me. And then it was all about Robert the Doll and his life in a museum. And it's one of those movies that takes place in like basically one or two rooms, which is really interesting to me, because it's very it for this kind of movie, I feel like it adds like a little bit of like tension because you're in this scene that's basically one room the whole time, and you feel a little I'm not claustrophobic, but you kind of get that vibe of you're just stuck. And yeah, and it really added to it. And there were a couple more rooms, but you didn't really ever go outside and do a lot. So you really felt like I'm trapped in this. This is where we are. We're gonna get through it. So it's all about a young college girl who is trying to make some extra money and gets a night job at a local museum. And she is on the night cleaning crew, and she works with this other woman who's been there forever. And there are a couple of security guards, and it's a pretty small crew, just like the four of them. And then there's the museum owner, who is an American, and I believe this is set somewhere in Britain. And he is kind of the quote unquote villain because he is known for making up stories about some of his exhibits to try and like drum up business. And so he has been telling everybody that he has this doll, Robert, who is cursed and that it brings in people because they want to see the cursed doll. And so all of the workers are kind of annoyed because people come in and make a big fuss out of everything and they're like, oh, it's so annoying. So the woman that has worked there for a long time tells the girl about the legends. She's like, don't let it get to you. It's not a big deal. I've been here forever. It's super boring. You know, just make your money and get out of here, basically, if you need to. And she's like, okay, yeah, no problem. But then, of course, spooky things start happening. And this new girl is convinced that there's like someone or something that is roaming around the museum at night. And she's trying to get them to believe her. And the older woman is, you know, just like, okay, it's my fault. You know, I told you about the legend and I spooked you. I'm so sorry. And then the two security guards are like, yeah, nothing ever happens here. So no one believes her, but things get pretty dark. I definitely don't recommend this movie for children, even though it's about a doll. But same like you said about your movie, it's probably, you know, it's definitely for adults, maybe for older teens that don't mind a spooky bit. It's not very graphic or anything like that, violence-wise, but there is some violence, so be aware. But basically, it turns out the Curse of Robert is not made up. And I don't want to give too much away, but this girl was smart and they should have all listened to her. So I've only watched the first one, but for like a small independent film, it was pretty great. I liked it.
All right. I haven't heard of this one. I have it written down, so I'm looking forward to
Yeah.
checking that one out. And sometimes when there's a very limited location, that means the writing has to be that much better to carry the story. So
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how well rated it is. I don't really know anything about it. I just sort of found it and went, yeah, let's give it a try. But I also love kind of like a cheesy, dumb movie too. So I don't know. Maybe that's what this was, but I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Wow, it sounds like a winner. And the good thing about Hoopla 2 is there's unlimited copies, so you don't ever have to
Yes.
wait on hold for something. So
Correct.
that sounds good. You can check it out whenever you want to. Well, that
Great.
sounds great. Of course, in keeping with our theme, I'm going to talk about the 2022 movie Megan, which came out on DVD and Blu-ray this year. Megan is a marvel of artificial intelligence. Oh, it's PG-13. Sorry. Megan is a marvel of artificial intelligence, a lifelike doll programmed to be a child's greatest companion and a parent's greatest ally. Designed by brilliant toy company roboticist Gemma, played by Allison Williams, Megan can listen and watch and learn as she becomes friend and teacher, playmate and protector for the child she is bonded to. As Gemma faces pressure at work to deliver a finished version of Megan, she suddenly becomes the unprepared caretaker of her newly orphaned 8-year-old niece, Katie, played by Violet McGraw, very great young actor. Gemma decides to pair the Megan prototype with Katie in an attempt to resolve both problems, a decision that will have unimaginable consequences. So I love this movie. I knew I would, and I did. Not just because you can't go wrong with the story of a murderous robot doll, but because the movie is perfectly timed with recent new developments in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Great horror movies deal with larger themes, like in the 80s, horror movies were often about rampant consumerism or the threat of nuclear war. Megan exploits very effectively our collective concerns about artificial intelligence, getting out of control and causing people harm. So, yeah, she's a life-size animatronic doll. She vows to be loyal and to protect Katie, but unfortunately, she takes her prime directive a little too literally, much to the detriment of schoolyard bullies and even Katie's own caregiver, Gemma. Recently orphaned Katie only sees Megan's positive qualities and relies on her for companionship and even psychological counseling. But Megan's bad behaviors ramp up gradually until she eventually becomes an adorable little Terminator. The special effects creating Megan are convincing and seamless, and they do this by combining a live young actor, Amy Donald, in a mask, which is later that mask is an animated with CGI, and then she's voiced by a second actor, Jenna Davis, who has a nice creepy young voice, and they kind of use the uncanny valley problem of humanoid robots tending to look a little bit creepy. They use that to very, very great effect. If you've seen the previews, the movie is pretty much exactly what you would expect. And so, as horror movies go, it's not overly scary. I would say this movie is probably fine for teens that maybe grew up on R.L. Stine books or Goosebump movies or in books, and who maybe want to take the next step up on the scariness scale. So, I definitely recommend Megan.
I think it's interesting that you, for your movie, you were talking about how the special effects are great and there's all this great animation, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to, it made me chuckle thinking back about the Robert the Doll, movie. It is, again, it's not a bad movie, but like it's very much not, it's like low budget. It was like when Robert the Doll is moving, it is straight up like I'm playing with dolls. You don't see hands or anything moving it, but it just makes me chuckle the difference between the two of them and how it's the same kind of like spooky vibe, but for very different reasons.
Yes, and I have a high I have a I can more accept practical effects that are sort of crude than bad CGI. So it sounds like
Yes.
your movie was not CGI. It was
Yeah.
actually a practical effect, like an actual doll being manipulated by someone. Is that right?
Yeah, so there are a couple scenes where most of the time the museum that they're in, there's lots of kind of like dolls and mannequins and things like that around, but Robert is the only one that we see moving in the beginning. However, in the end there is some extra spooky vibes of dolls coming to life kind of a thing. But and again, maybe they'll explain it more. It definitely was kind of a cliffhanger end, and I didn't catch the other three, but which if you don't, I think that this movie is self-contained, perfectly fine as well. But I was curious at the end because you do see some other dolls coming to life and you're like,
Mm-hmm.
well, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
But it was very much like I felt like I could almost envision myself like moving his head around and making his little feet walk and everything. But it
Yeah.
didn't take away from the scary because
Yes.
it just feels wrong. Like it feels like this is off. And the Uncanny Valley thing. But he's just a creepy doll to begin with. They really upped the sort of like he's a little bit banged up and he hasn't been well cared for vibe.
Yeah.
The real Robert the doll, I think, is actually quite sweet looking. So
Oh
they
my
took some
goodness.
liberties with this Robert, but
Made him look a little more sinister.
very much so. So, and actually, with that, I wonder if that's part of the weirdness with AI kind of and robot stuff, where it's I don't personally feel like they look very scary. Like they're kind of neutral to me,
Yeah.
versus like a doll can be very scary looking. So I wonder what the difference is with our brains with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and I think there was a period of time when these types of movies turned out badly because CGI was kind of a new thing, and it kind of takes you out of the movie when it's not done well. I think movies now understand that people want things to look real, like they're in, these things are in the physical world, and
Sure.
I don't, I have listened to podcasts about Uncanny Valley too, and it is kind of fascinating. It's there's a I there's a kind of a curve where things become more realistic, and then there's this valley, then it starts to drop off and things become really creepy. So like C-3PO from Star Wars is not perceived as creepy because he's not too realistic, but then you see some of these new Japanese humanoid robots where they try to make it look almost like a real person, but the glassy-eyed stare is off, the expressions are off, and that's where I think horror movies have their most fun, is when they have something that's like, oh, this makes me feel funny and I'm not sure why
And it's
in a bad way.
it's a fascinating phenomenon that like I think most, if not all, animals actually I was gonna say suffer from some of it, and maybe it is suffering for some, I don't know, but it's like a it's something to keep you alive that we have kind of grown out of, but then kind of grew into it by creating all these crazy robots that are and animations and video games and things that are coming sort of full circle coming back around to that, like this isn't quite right.
Yeah, so
I should
we're
stay away.
hardwired. Yes,
Yes.
exactly. We're hardwired to respond that way.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I mean we're kind of beyond it in the realm of seeing other humans, I guess, mostly, but yeah, with the dolls and the robots and everything. Actually, the robot that creeps me out the most is the dog one, which
I don't know if I know this one.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's just one of those robots that has four legs and it can run around and like jump on stuff. And I think the legs are too long
Oh.
for me, and it gives me heebie-jeebies.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I can picture it now.
Yep,
Yes,
I would much
exactly.
rather look at glassy-eyed, AI robots than a weird
Well,
robot puppy. So who knew? But.
do you have any other things from the lab you want to plug before I get into my final movie pick?
Actually, so I did want to mention that we have been keeping track of some of this. So don't worry if you're kind of making notes and losing track of things. We are making a nice list for you. I've got a couple things that I can recommend, but I will let you go into the last one and then we'll wrap it up maybe with that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I've danced around it, but now I'm just going to plunge in. Chucky. We talked about
Hey.
Child's Play, and Chucky's been rebooted. In 2021, the USA Network and Sci-Fi rebooted it. We are starting to get those in on DVD at the library. We have season one and two on DVD, and I've heard season three is in the works. So if you haven't seen Chucky, here's a short description. After loner Jake Weber discovers a vintage good guy doll at a suburban yard sale, a quiet American town soon erupts into mayhem as a blood-chilling murder spree begins in everyone's deepest and dark and spills everyone's deepest and darkest secrets. While Chucky unleashes havoc, familiar faces from his past return and threaten to reveal his shadowy origins as a seemingly ordinary child who somehow became the legendary murderous doll. So yeah, you can't talk about this genre without talking about Chucky. So again, my wife, I've mentioned this on other podcasts too. She kind of introduced me to a lot of the old scary 80s movies as a child. I was a very sheltered child. And she's like, I got to get you up to speed on some of this great stuff that you missed.
Well,
So she
kudos to
had
her.
me. Yes, that's right. So she showed me the old Child's Play movies. And if you haven't seen the old original Child's Play movies, Chucky's a doll, kind of a little larger than a Cabbage Patch kid, I would say. He supposedly becomes possessed with the mind of a serial killer and then proceeds to snark and stab his way around town. So in the 80s, in real life, there used to be a talking My Buddy doll. I remember the
Yes,
commercials and
I
this,
was
I
just
remember
looking
this
it up.
song.
I was like, wait a
And
second, I think I remember this.
yes, so this is kind of a murdery spin on that doll, that real doll. So the Chucky movies kind of ran their course in the 80s and 90s and kind of lost steam. They tried a reboot in 2019 and replaced longtime Chucky voice actor Brad Dourif with Mark Hamill, who did a great job, but Chucky just isn't Chucky without the wisecracking Dourif doing the voice. So when Sci-Fi and USA rebooted Chucky in 2021, they really did a solid job with it. They brought Brad Dourif back as the delight. Demented voice of Chucky. The series lead Jake Wheeler, played by Zachary Arthur, is appropriately angsty and struggles with moral dilemmas between what he knows is right and what this manipulative psycho killer doll tells him to do. Jake's boyfriend Devin, played by Jorvin Anderson, is kind of the voice of reason and compassion and always tries to convince Zachary to do the right thing. So it's kind of a devil on one shoulder, angel on the other sort of scenario. And then their relationship kind of raises the stakes because you want them to end up together in the end, and there's something redeemable to worth fighting for. So that's a nice storytelling element there. CGI allows Chucky to be more mobile and expressive in this reboot than the old 80s ones. But they do a really good job making him look like an actual doll and not like CGI. So it still has that same similar feel of the old 80s, 90s movies. The campy humor is back too in this reboot, and that just makes it a lot more fun to watch. It is violent and sometimes bloody, even though it's campy. So I recommend it for adults. Teens, use your own best judgment. You know how much stabbing and whatnot you can tolerate. But it's a lot of fun. I recommend it.
I feel like it is definitely something that they have to be careful with when they're doing these kind of doll-based movies nowadays, is that
Yeah.
they do have to make it look like kind of campy and real doll believableness, because it does lose its charm otherwise. Then you might as
Yeah.
well watch a different movie with a,
Then it becomes an Annabelle movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it is kind of an interesting, because I don't know that there are that many nowadays coming out with that. I think that maybe that was something, and this is a whole other podcast we could get into, so I won't go deep, but I think that was something that was so popular back in like the 80s and 90s, because that was kind of maybe the pinnacle of what they could pull off with
Right.
practical effects and the limited special effects they had. But
Yep.
I think there's still merit in that kind of a thing nowadays, and I'm interested to see if we get any more of those, not necessarily Chucky reboots, which maybe we will, but other, creepy doll movies, like the one that I mentioned is from 2015. So I don't know, maybe there's a resurgence coming. We'll see.
We'll see. Well,
Anyways.
yeah, well, that's great. I think we've covered that genre quite thoroughly. And I want to take a quick moment to plug some of the things that are coming up at the library this late October. Monsters and Mayhem is Wednesday, October 25th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the main library. Join us for a not Not so scary good time. Monsters and Mayhem will take over the library for some creepy crafts, ghostly games, and spooky stories. Costumes are encouraged, no registration required. That's for kids and then for adults. My program coming up is Mysterious Michigan on Monday, October 30th, 7 p.m. at Maine. Enigmatic mediums, murders, and monsters are all part of Michigan's mysterious and sometimes supernatural history. Learn about the lonely ghost of Minnie Quay, the marvelous manifestations of Farmer Riley, the mischievous Nain Rouge of Detroit, and more from researcher Amber Rose Hammond as she brings to light strange and unusual tales from Michigan's colorful and exciting past. We've had her before. She's great. This is all based on a new book that came out this year from her, of the same title, and I think it should be a lot of fun.
And I will wrap up before I ask one last question of Phil. So we've got a for teens haunted escape room coming up at the end of the month
Cool.
on Monday, October 23rd. Registration is required. It is open to anybody in grade 6 through 12 that is at the main library. And then I just wanted to go back to the books and let you know that, like I said earlier, we do have a list going of some kind of spooky books. I thought it would be really great to collect a lot of the kind of true story, creepy but true legendy vibe of all of this because I feel like the dolls coming to life fit under that. So we will have a list that we will try to link in the notes here, or you can just visit the website cmpl.org. And then I would highly recommend if you're looking for books of this nature to browse through our children's nonfiction section under the curiosities topic. We have a lot of like true hauntings, strange but true, etc. books. And I think that your book that you just talked about with that speaker falls right under that. Do you feel like you've got a lot of that in your adult nonfiction collection as well? Where would you recommend we head if we want that?
We do, yeah. Some of them are in the Michigan History Collection if they're Michigan specific, but a lot of the other ones are in the early part of the Dewey S decimal system, the 000s. Soon we'll be having subject categories in the entire collection. We call that BISAC or BISAC Lite. When that happens in a year or so, actually, that might be happening less than a year. There's going to be a section called The Unexplained. That's going to be the subject category in our adult collection. So watch for that that subject heading soon in a library near
Excellent.
you.
So if you want to come browse curiosities and unexplained phenomenon, those might be the areas to head to. Phil, do you have any exciting plans for books to read for upcoming spooky season, or are we just going to have to share notes after the podcast here?
I don't have any off the top of my head besides what I've talked about today, but we do have a display that went up just yesterday. Kate put up a wonderful spooky books display on the second floor, nonfiction department. So if you come up the stairs, just make a left and you'll see a fabulous display of very spooky and appropriate for Halloween books that you can enjoy.
Excellent. And if you want some more fiction, more scary stories in the teen room, we will also have some spooky books headed up that way, which is just all the way on the other side of the stairs. You can do a loop on either direction and head to the teen room, or as we call it, the edge. So feel free to stop on in and ask anybody you see for some more spooky recommendations.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Colleen, for joining me today, and happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween to you too, Phil. Go read some spooky books. Thanks for having me.